This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18+, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average, and those savings add up. Imagine what you could buy in the future.
Hey, remember how 20 years ago I switched to Progressive? Well, now it's the future, and I used all those savings to buy this new hologram phone. Because, you know, it's the future, and everything is holograms now.
So switch to Progressive and save big, because those savings can add up in the future. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customer surveyed who saved with Progressive in 2020. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Max Cohen. This is a very interesting episode, as it's a combo episode. We're going to be looking back at the Wolves 1-0 loss for Fulham, which, believe it or not, I find very encouraging. I want to get Max's thoughts on that. That'll be in the first half of the show. In the second half of the show, we're going to do a transfer window review. We have a lot to get through in regards to the transfer window. I look forward to talking to Max about that. Also, just want to mention thank you to everyone that's been sending me some nice messages on Twitter, on Facebook, and just messaging me and actually emailing me personally. I'm doing better now. I just had a very bad cold. But thank you, everyone, for your nice, kind thoughts. I really appreciate that. All right, Max. Let's get going. Let's talk first about the Wolves match. Now, going into this, I was just thinking, you know, I predicted a loss for Fulham, but I thought it was going to be more lopsided than it was. I know they got nothing from this, Max. I'm encouraged coming out of it. It's strange to say, but that's how I feel. Just give me your opening thoughts on Wolves. On that match, they lose 1-0, but you know what? Fulham made it very difficult on them.
Yeah, you have every right to be encouraged because it's the best we played all season, as far as I'm concerned. It was solid defensively. I mean, the whole first half, no goals conceded. It was a joy to watch that we actually didn't crack within the first 10 minutes. And then, of course, we conceded that sloppy goal in early in the second half. But what I liked for us is that we really dominated towards the end. We brought the match to Wolves. I think we'd be remiss not to mention Lookman. I thought he was excellent.
Oh, we're going
to
talk about him.
Absolutely. We've been crying out for that kind of attacking play, I think, for years in this Fulham side. And I'm really encouraged by what I saw from him against Wolves. He's a guaranteed starter. And just that, in that one counterattack when, you know, Kamara missed the chance, but I saw more quality from Lookman in that one 30-second bit of play.
We haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think Mitch Richards is going to love that because that means more service for him. So it was encouraging on both ends of the pitch, defensively and attackingly. I think people really surprised what with Parker's lineup. You know, Brian's a bit of a midfielder, wing back. Yep. I thought it worked very well. But, you know, as you mentioned, the big takeaway is no points. And of course, the result was poor. The performance was great. It was encouraging. But we're at a stage of the season when we've lost all four of our matches in the league. And, you know, I saw Mike Gregg put on Twitter, we're in a good spot to kick on, but we can't just kick on. We have to be essentially the 14th or 15th best team in the league for the next 34 matches. We can't just be the 18th, 17th. Like, we have to play better, but not just the third worst team. We need to be a lot better than that because of the hole we've left ourselves in.
Yes.
And that's going to transfer. That's going to, you know, translate to the transfer speculation, right? Because the fact of the matter is we left it too late. I'm really delighted with what we did last night, but we left ourselves in a massive hole. And any team who loses the first four matches and is left in that, you know, dead last, 20th in the league, it's going to be a Herculean effort to stay up. Hopefully we've given ourselves an opportunity to do that with the players. But I think we're going to look back in May and say, why did it take until deadline day to get those players?
Well, it's interesting, Max, and we'll definitely talk about the transfer window, but I'm just going to share my thoughts on the Wolves match. And it's interesting that you mentioned this because the performance was much, much better and defensively. And were we toothless moving forward? You know, I've had people mention that, and I can understand that because, again, we didn't get that many shots on target, and we had that opportunity from Kamara, and you know, again, right at the goalkeeper, it could have gone either way. And I've actually listened to that on the Fulmish podcast. They're right. You know, he could have shot either way, and then it probably would have been a goal. But it was the opportunity that was created that was encouraging. But going back to what you said about our co-host, Mike Gregg, Mike is right about this because Mike follows the trends and everything in regards to points. That's one of Mike's things. So I'm with Mike on that because we're now behind the eight ball. We talked about this with Mike. And that's the problem with losing four in a row. We are now behind the eight ball. And that's the bad part to come out of this. The good part, obviously, Max, is the fact that we saw a much improved form side. And we're going to talk about that in this first half hour. And listen, if you're watching live and you have a question for Max and I, please feel free to share it in the comment section. We might get to it during the show. So, Max, I want to start here because I think this is big. Defensive improvement against Wolves. So let's look at this because what's interesting about it, and you watch it back, you've already talked about, because I definitely want to get your thoughts on the starting 11 in a little bit, but the shape was so much better. It really was moving forward a 4-2-3-1, but in defensive shape, it actually was five at the back with Joe Bryan playing in the back. You know, so again, it really turned out to be really like five at the back defensively, but going forward, it was different. But it was really just a good defensive performance, and everyone was doing their job. You know, I keep going back to players just need to be doing their job, and they made things very difficult on a team that I thought was just going to own us. Now, I've heard watching the match that their weakness was, again, their wing backs aren't the same, and maybe that affected them against Fulham, but no excuses. Fulham really did a nice job stifling that team.
Yeah, as we said, Wolves were very poor in that first half, and we did benefit from that, you know, because you could argue the three teams we lost to in the first three matches were teams really on good form, and we've seen that in the results. I mean, what Villa did to Liverpool and what Leeds have done now to City and Liverpool, we played teams in good form. I think we got the fortune against Wolves of playing a team who wasn't in good form.
Right.
But you're right. I think I was shocked, honestly, you know, Le Marchand gets a Premier League start. This is a player who couldn't even get a Premier League a start in the Championship last season at all. And he slots in and did all right, you know?
He did fine.
Tim Ream
did fine.
Did well. No Michael Hector in this team. And I think that, honestly, hate to say it, that might be a reason why I think we played better. Hector was our worst defender to date. Yep. And, you know, that's just the truth. You know, he was poor. I mean, I'm going to point the finger at him for the goal, perhaps, for not closing out enough. But I was really encouraged by Robinson. I liked the way Bryan played. I thought it was a nice gamble by Parker. He had to switch it up. But I think we need to realize is that we played well against Wolves defensively, better than we have in any match before.
Yeah.
But that defense is not going to be the same defense the rest of the season. You know, we got Anderson. We got Adarabayo. We're going to get Loftus-Cheek in midfield. That's encouraging to me is that we can play well, we've shown, with these second-string players. But it's a luxury because they don't have to start now. We don't have to listen to Ream start, Le Marchand start every week. We can depend on perhaps better players, which we've gotten, which I think is a really good bonus, is that even with this good performance against Wolves, we'll have even better players in for the rest of the season.
Okay. Well, let's get to this because, again, I'm glad that you've already talked about it. Let's talk about the starting 11 because it was very interesting. First thing that stood out for me was Robinson and Bryan playing together. And I thought they played very well together, honestly. And you and I have been talking about, let's see what this would look like. And I thought it looked pretty good, you know, and this is all before we had Lookman being introduced in the second half. We're just talking about how it all looked on paper. And I'm thinking this is going to be okay on the left-hand side. I was very concerned about the center back pairing. I was very concerned, and I think rightfully so. When I looked at Ream and Le Marchand, I'm thinking, what is he doing? But what are his options at this point, Max? And I wanted to see Aina get another chance. I disagree with you. You know, again, we could talk about the goal. Yeah, possibly he had a part in that goal, but I thought he was decent. Not great, decent at times. I don't think he was terrible, but that's just my opinion on that. But beyond that, I thought it was fine. I really thought the lineup was fine. What were your thoughts about the starting 11?
It was confusing, honestly. I think a lot of people didn't realize what the formation would be. We just had a lot of players in places you wouldn't expect them. I think, you know, Robinson at the kind of left back area of that, the left of those three center backs, that's where I think he played. It was a gamble. But as we mentioned, he's kind of underlapping runs up the middle when Brian drew the defenders out wide and Robinson showed his pace through the middle almost. That worked a treat, and that was something we haven't seen before in a while, that kind of energy. Runs from deep. That was excellent. I think we can all agree Cavalera shouldn't be getting another start at this level. It's not good enough in the Premier League. And I want to say for the entire team, the level of service from out wide was awful the entire match. That was probably one of the lowest points, I think, from this game, is that there was just terrible service to Mitro. Poor crosses, underhit, overhit. That's one of the reasons I'm really frustrated with Aina, because I think
his delivery was just his crossing awful. Was not good at all. There's no question about that.
You know, he's not the only one, right? I don't want to single him out because Cavalera was poor. I think the only really good cross at all match was when Kamara came on. And maybe he should start, maybe not. But I think Lookman definitely has to start in that position.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. Man,
it was a makeshift starting 11.
Yeah.
But again, we didn't concede in the first half, and that was the biggest issue we all identified, was the defense.
Right.
And a defense which very few expected to work. It did work. That's encouraging.
It is encouraging. And because, again, we're going to see different players get into the mix that should change how everything looks. And, you know, when we're going to be talking about Lookman in just a second, because it looked like with Lookman a completely different side. That's how different the team looked when he was added to it. And we'll, again, talk about him in just a bit, because I want to spend some time talking about him. But, you know, it's interesting to look at that. And I'm glad that you talked about defensively, it was really like Robinson adding that third, I guess you'd say third center back. And then you had Brian. And then, of course, Aina being like the five. You know, that turned out to be a five defensively. And it really, it did its job. But moving forward, it really was a 4-2-3-1. And I think, you know, again, did it offer enough? No. Absolutely not. But I think when we look at the players that are going to be added to it, I mean, just adding Lookman to it, it looked completely different. So let's talk about that now. I want to talk about him because I don't want to jump to any conclusions, but I'm going to. He looks like the real deal. He really does. And I'm trying to think of Max watching him. Have you seen a player like that? When's the last time you've seen a player with that type of skill take on players like that with Fulham? Who's the last player that he reminds you of? I'm curious your thoughts on that.
You have to go back a while. I mean, I would say Ryan Sessegnon off the top of my head, but again, Sessegnon didn't run at players the way Lookman did. Sessegnon was very talented, but he wasn't someone to just take players on. You know, Karim Fry almost springs to mind as someone just a really talented dribbler.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can find other examples, but we honestly haven't had that many out and out wingers.
Not like this.
Sometimes, and just have that energy and the skill, the moves he was putting on, the 1-2s, the vision he had. It was just such a burst of
confidence.
Yeah, confidence. And that's great because, again, he wasn't getting playing time at Leipzig. We can offer him that playing time. He can give us that extra dimension. It's a win-win for all parties. He'll start. I think he'll be a guaranteed starter. And a lot of people are saying this can be kind of like a Ryan Bobble signing. You know, we got him in January of the last Premier League season and everyone kind of derided it at first and said, oh, well, what do we need this winger for? Our defense is terrible. But it turned out the attack also needed a lot of, you know, upgrades, and Bobble private upgrades. So that's a comparison I would say. I really do think Lookman is kind of almost underrated in how the fans have taken to it, because everyone knows we need a center back. That was the main focus. But left a little bit unaddressed was the attack is honestly a lot of devoid of ideas in the final third for stretches. And Lookman can be a player who gives us, you know, that creativity, ingenuity, penetration, and we need that in the final third.
Totally agree. And I'll also mention different position, but I expect Ruben Loftus-Cheek to add something to our attack going forward as well. I can't wait to talk about him. but we'll talk about him in just a bit, my friend. But let's talk about this, because again, we're just talking about things that stood out from this match. And I want to talk about this. Again, I am jumping to conclusions. Ariola seems like an upgrade to me, Max.
I would say for sure. Absolutely. The saves he made against Wolves, I think, kept us in the match for I mean, the double save I remember he had when Semedo was clean through. He somehow tipped it out, had his body in the way. He was excellent. It was, again, I think that was his best match for us. That could just be a situation in which he needed to gel. You know, you come into a new team, you don't know the system immediately, and you have a rough start. But I do think it's comfortable to say he's better than Rodak. It's very harsh on Rodak to be dropped, but yeah. I think he always knew we needed a keeper coming in with a pedigree of PSG. He was going to be a really quality keeper, and he's showing that with his saves. And it's like kind of Bedinelli situation last time. You know, you get yourself promoted. Rodak thinks he should get the number one spot, plays a match, and suddenly he's on the bench. But I think that's the kind of ruthlessness we need. You know, Ariola is just a better player. He's not going to be the fan favorite right away.
Yep.
Because he's supplanting Rodak, but I think it's a good call. A
couple double saves. I'm just saying he was a different. He kept the match close. We'll just leave it at that. So I just watched this and thinking we might actually have an upgrade on our hands. Nothing against Marek Rodak, because I wanted Marek Rodak to play, but we need the best players out there to be starting, and Ariola just seems a cut above. So just wanted to mention that as well. All right, my friend, I want to ask you again your thoughts on. Let's go back and let's just talk about the goal they gave up. Because, again, you come out of the half with a goalless draw, and then, you know that Wolves are going to be coming at you. And I thought that they were handling it, again, with the saves from Ariola. Then right afterwards, you give up the goal. Now, this is deflating. Your thoughts about giving up that goal early in the second half?
Yeah, it was a really poor time to give it up, as you mentioned, because we're just thinking if we keep this 0-0 for long enough, maybe we just pinch the winner at the end, or at least keep it scoreless. And, you know, right out of the bat, we don't start halves well. That's one thing that was consistent in this match, is coming out of the halftime interval, we looked lethargic, and Wolves, I think, were angry. I think Nuno gave them a halftime team talk and essentially said, look, this is Fulham, you're better than this. We need to play our style. We need to be more aggressive. And you could see the passing was so much quicker from Wolves. We didn't truly react. And, you know, Wolves honestly could have had a goal even before the strike that went in from Neto. They had a lot of good chances. This one, I think, encouraging things within the goal, though, to be fair. You know, Robinson throws himself at the first block.
Yep.
Right? And that's the kind of dedication we haven't seen a lot.
That's right.
Players throwing themselves at oncoming shots. We see a lot from other teams against us. But just that level of dedication was heartening to see. It was a below-average clearance from Ream. You can point fingers there. I think you definitely should. He didn't get the ball clear well enough. But again, I think Aina, when you're in that right back position, and Mitrovic, actually, the striker, is closer to close down Pedro Neto than the right back is. You know, Mitro is throwing his body at it, and Aina didn't seem in it, was off the pace, slow to react. That's frustrating. It was a good shot, to be fair, but I do have to point fingers at the right back. You have to be alert to that danger.
Okay. Well, you know, again, like I said, I understand when we're talking about the goal, and it was unfortunate, but what's interesting about it, we've already talked about Fulham. Then again, their heads could have dropped at that point, Max. It could have been 2-3-0, but it wasn't that. In fact, Fulham were in it until the very end. And let's just end by talking about the opportunity that we both were just talking about earlier. And it's just unfortunate because it was right there for Abubakar Kamara. And I'm going to say this, and I'm sorry I'm going to say this. I love Abubakar Kamara. I love his energy. He's not a Premier League striker. He just isn't. He's, again, maybe off the bench, I can see it, and that's what it was in this situation. But you need to be scoring in these situations, because players in this league would score there. He should be scoring here, and he didn't. Yeah. And that, to me, is the difference between Fulham in the Championship and Fulham in the Premier League. They need players that are going to score that opportunity. He just didn't do it.
Yeah, and even though I do like Kamara, I am one of his fans, you have to point the finger and say that's just not good enough. It was put on a plate for him by Mitro. And not just that, the Lookman buildup, it was a lovely counterattack. And you couldn't ask for better service right in the box, on the ground, right in front of the goalie, and he was just right at him. And listen, I criticize Bobby Reid for missing easy chances, and I'll criticize Kamara for doing it. A goal there is priceless. And when you don't have the quality on the pitch to score goals – you're going to lose, you know, four out of your first four matches, right? And that's kind of the thing where I've said this in the past. Like, in many ways, this isn't a surprise that we're dead last in the Premier League, because I think we probably have the weakest squad in the Premier League. Now, the new additions might change that, but in terms of Wolves match, you just look at the players. Very, very few Premier League players out on the pitch. I think Lookman was one of them. Anguissa, Mitrovic, maybe Areola. But again, when you have less than half your team Premier League quality, and again, I said this last week, it's such a good marker. What players in the Fulham team would start in any other team in the division? And you really struggle to find any. That's when you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you miss easy chances. And I like Kamara a lot as an option off the bench. But even that, if you're off the bench, you have to score those chances. We didn't. And we just didn't create enough for us, honestly.
No.
We can point the finger at one chance. It was an excellent, really well-developed chance. But
we should be creating more than this.
Yeah, and think about it. What were the other options that to score in the match? And I'm really struggling to find any.
I am too.
Again, don't want to be too negative here, because I think there were encouraging signs we just talked
about.
And again, we're going to get the three deadline day signings integrated into the squad. Will be exciting. But just from that one match, it's not a Premier League quality team, but we gave it our best. And that was something that was different. You know, we were in it until the end. In every single other match of the season, you know, without the Leeds match maybe, but the game was over half an hour and we were three goals down, an hour gone. You know, this match, we were in it the entire time. And if anything, the last 10 minutes, we were actually knocking on their door trying to make something happen. So that's what really gave me confidence that there's fight in this team. The question is it too late?
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, good stuff looking back at the Wolves match. But let's transition. Let's now talk about the transfer window. And at the very end, I'm going to have you rate the window. We're not there yet. I want an overall assessment of the window. But let's start here because, again, like anyone else, we're going to be focusing more on deadline day because there were three signings. We'll focus on that, but we'll talk about the window as a whole when I get your rating there, my friend. But let's start here because I know, like me, you were following this closely. And what's interesting about this player, we started hearing about this fairly late, maybe a few days before. And I've been hearing a lot of good things about him. And Fulham were chasing other center backs, but they finally got this center back. And I want to get your thoughts on it, because everything I've heard about him at Sampdoria, and I actually just spoke to the producer for the Calcio Land podcast, Alex Goldberg, who's been on this show about Chelsea, but he also produces this Italian podcast, said on their podcast when he played for Sampdoria, they talked about him in glowing details. Okay, so that it made me feel good. That's the podcast with David Amoyal, which I'd highly recommend. So it sounds like he had a very good stint in Italy, not so much in France, but again, what I'm reading, it sounds like some of that had to do with the fact that they went to three center backs. He just didn't fit. But for Fulham, what are your thoughts about bringing in this player?
I'll be honest, I hadn't heard of him before. We were linked with him, to be fair. But Lyon paid a lot of money for him. As you mentioned.
That's
a big statement of intent. You know, he hasn't quite played many matches for the Danish national team, but he's capped once or twice. But at this point, it's a center back. And I'm not going to come here and say this guy's going to be our savior, because I don't know how to react. Concerning signs, though, are that, you know, we bought another player from Ligue 1, the French league. We've not had a great history of that in the past, Russ. You know that.
Oh, I know.
It's a different style of play. It's a much quicker pace in England. That's one thing that concerns me. But I really think he could be an excellent addition based on what people are saying. He's tall. Apparently he's good at his feet, but very good in the air.
All playing center back as well.
Playing center back. That we know anyone we're going to buy has to fit the Tony Khan mold of ball playing center back.
And that's right.
I'm happy with that. But even if you got a center back, you know, I couldn't even care who the guy was. We finally got someone. And that's what I was just delighted about. I was like, we just finally got a central defender.
Right.
The position we've known we have to get since, you know, the final whistle at Wembley. But I'm encouraged by this. Again, I've never seen him play. He hasn't played for them at all. I think with transfers, I don't want to fall in the trap of producing someone a success or a failure before I've even seen them play. Because I think back to Alfie Mawson. And I remember I was over the moon. And I think it was me, you, Giannis, had a call back in, you know, summer, August 2018 about it. And we said, this is amazing. We've seen Mawson play for Swansea. He's a Premier League quality player. would be great for us. And we saw how that poorly that turned out. And we've had players who we didn't think would do well and then went and did well. So I don't want to give a huge verdict here, but you look at a player who's played in Serie A, played for Lyon, one of the top teams in France, played in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Also another factor, played with Kenny Tete a bunch.
I was just about to mention that.
So that's, you know, some
chemistry in the back.
That's huge. That's big. I think it checks a lot of boxes and it's very encouraging. I'm going to save my judgment until he makes his debut. But a player like Anderson, he's a player we want. And I think it's fair to say he'll be an upgrade over every single option we have now, just based on his pedigree. I think it's fair to say he'll be better than Tim Ream, be better than LaMarchand, better than Hector, better than Odoi. And that's all I ask for is an upgrade. So by this token, I'm delighted by it.
Okay. And we're going to be talking about Joachim Anderson and knowing Kenny Tete and other players as well, because I believe it or not, I want to talk about what I'm calling the buddy system, because it's not just him who knows a Fulham player. Again, you watch these videos, there is another player that we'll be talking about in just a bit that, again, knows a Fulham player, and I think that's a factor in all this. The being more comfortable with your teammates, I think that's huge. And the fact that he played with Kenny Tete, and obviously Kenny Tete told him about the club. And we're going to talk about this as well, Max. The fact that he's coming has to speak well of how Kenny Tete feels about the club. So this is good twofold, because you've got two players from Lyon. They both want to play here. And one's already here talking to the other. So that to me is encouraging. But we're going to have to see if Joachim Anderson works out. I hope he does, but only time will tell. And we've seen failures, you know, and again, you brought up Alfie Moss, and I was over the moon like you, and it didn't work out. For whatever reason, it didn't work out. So who knows? All right, coming up next, I'm going to talk to Max about another center back coming to Fulham. Okay, Max, Fulham added another center back on deadline day. It's funny because this wasn't the one I was thinking they were going to get. In fact, there were talks that they might have gotten three. One fell through, but they got a player from Man City. Now, granted, he has been out on loan for the past two seasons in the championship. I'm going to try to say his name. Tosin Adebayo. Hopefully I'm saying it right. Huge player. I mean, I think he's 6'5". Huge, you know, again, maybe not. I'm talking about height-wise. And what I've read about him seems positive. What are your thoughts about Tosin coming to form another center back?
Yeah, I think, you know, Pep Guardiola said about him a couple of years ago that he saw a future for him at Man City. It hasn't panned out that way. Understandable. It's very hard to break into the first team at Manchester City with the players they have. But, you know, he was very highly rated.
He was supposed to be the replacement for Kompany.
Yeah, you know, I read that too. And, you know, he'd been with City since I think he was like 5, which is like an insane, it's an 18-year stay at City, and he's finally left permanently. But I think that shows a lot, first of all, about what he thinks of Fulham. Because I know it's very hard to leave your boyhood club, especially a club as good as Man City, if you think there's a chance of breaking through. But he said, listen, this is time in my career to branch out and start a new chapter. And I think one of the things Tony Khan said was he really wants to be here. You know, unlike, you know, Baumgartlern. Whatever. The other guy who would be from Eindhoven who fell through.
Yeah.
Adebayo seems like actually wants to be at Fulham, which is a great bonus. Yep. And I've seen reports we've paid as little as, you know, £2 million for him, which would be amazing.
It's crazy.
That's one thing I would like to say again about the deals on transfer deadline day. We didn't splash the cash.
Nope.
I think we were very, very economical. And I massively rate that. You know, we didn't overpay for anybody this window, with the exception of Anthony Knockaert, which has been pointed to a lot, and maybe Bobby Reed and Cavalier, those are back in January, but
yeah,
you know, those three wingers, I think we've all paid around
more money for them.
Yeah, than the quality Premier League players that we're bringing in now, which I think is a testament, I think, to one Tony Khan on deadline day making very good deals. And as fans, you know, I've of course criticized a lot the transfers this up until deadline day and said, you know, why haven't we gotten players? A reason for that might just be we're trying to get the best price. It's a tough trade-off, right? I think every fan would probably agree we'd rather have the players in beforehand, even if it means paying more. But of course, from a business standpoint, you know, the director of football would want to get the best deal possible. I just think it's good business. Adebayo, you know, he hasn't played. He's never made a Premier League appearance. That's the only negative against him is that he wasn't up to the grade at City, but no other Premier League team has loaned him, taken him on. But, you know, he's impressed at Blackburn, impressed at West Brom. And I think it's a good young English center back. It fits the mold of the signings we want at Fulham. Yeah. But again, I'm not going to make any big pronouncements about him. As you mentioned, he's physically very strong, very tall, you know, 6'5 center back.
All of a sudden, we got all the better
hangers. Yeah, tall players. You know, maybe we'll stop conceding every goal from a set piece now. But also, Michael Hector is very tall and he can't defend for his life from a set piece. So I wouldn't make any conclusions. But again, this is an encouraging signing. This honestly, as I said for Anderson, it takes a lot of the boxes of what you know you want in a signing. A young British player who's come from a good team but is hungry and wants to prove himself.
Okay, very good. I'm going to share this comment from my friend in Spain, Roger Lewis. 6 weeks ago, Tony Khan did not know which division we would be in. To get the two upgrade center backs in that we were screaming for is great business. It is great business. And I want to talk about this.
Well, 6 weeks. I mean, it's been 2 months.
Okay. Okay.
But it's a good point. It was a very, very.
I will say that it's been years since we got a dominant center back. Okay. And we still don't know about these two. But here's the thing. And I think this is the rub when it comes to the window. And I don't know if Tosin became available late. I don't know if Anderson became available late. And I think that's the nature of how the window works, Max. I think that's a factor in this, that maybe these players were not available 2-3 weeks ago, but they became available as the window started to close. This stuff happens. So I'm not giving Tony Khan a pass on this because I wanted center backs in earlier. Totally with you on that. I still am angry that he let Mawson go before he brought these players in. Okay? That's just how I feel on that. But I had a feeling that he would get the center backs in. And we have been, there's some speculation on, it seemed like every center back across the world. But
PK. Remember PK?
What?
Oh, PK.
Let's not go back to that. But when you look at it, to go back to how many that they were rumored to get to, and I know it's late because we talked about this, but I do think that the window, the way it's structured, it does lend itself to all these deals at the end, Max.
Agree. And you know what? We have to be realistic about the nature of football and how business is done. Things happen late. It was just frustrating to see that, you know, Tony Khan has been public about, he knew he needed to get players early and he mentioned he tried to get players and everything fell through. Yep. Right? With that famous tweet. The COVID tweet, the personal issue, free bet, whatever, all the litany of reasons why we didn't have a center back. That to me indicates there were players in the market and we were just unfortunate, whatever reason. But you have to be ruthless, I think, as a fan, Russ. And you have to be understanding in some instances, but this is their job to improve the team, to upgrade the team in key areas. And no matter what way you cut it, waiting until the deadline day was too late. I think it was too late. I think we can still stay up. I'm not saying we're down. But we're in a 4 losing streak hole, you know, 4 match losing streak hole. And I'd say that was partially avoidable because of when we did business. That could have been avoided. But I think at this point, you know, listen, we've been critical on this podcast. I've been very critical. But 34 matches to go. We have the team we have until the January window. But this is our side now. And we have to get behind them and say, listen, we have this team.
We're going to talk about that as well. Are we done yet? We're going to talk about that in a little bit.
We need some championship. Yeah, that's fair. EFL deals. That's a good point. We haven't read any links, but you know, keep the options open.
Okay.
But, yeah. My main point is, which I think you understand, yep, is that we can criticize the policy all we want. Yep. Now it's on to the manager and the players to perform.
I totally agree. Listen, I have someone who's joining us right now. This would be our Cottage Talk host. I'm glad that he had time to do this with us. Mr. Danilo, how are you doing? Thank you for joining Max and I for the tail end of our show, half of our show.
Yeah, right, half of the show. Well, it's good to see. I hope you're feeling better, Russ. You sound in much better shape than I spoke a couple of days ago. Hello, Max.
Thank
how
you.
Are you?
Yeah, I was just messaging Emilio and I said we got to get in the show soon. And 2 days later, he's on the show. It's great.
Wave the magic wand. I've just had a punishing day at work. I've just come off a call with the US. So yeah, just that's it. Now I'm done for the day. So if I lost my voice, you know why? Just literally all day talking on the phone at work.
And to Americans, that's even worse. Talking to Americans is a full time job.
I'm used to it now. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, Emilio, thank you so much for joining Max and myself. And before we get back and talk about the transfer window, since you're just joining us, thoughts on the Wolves' loss. You, Max and I started the first half of the show. I just want to get your overall view on that.
Encouraging. There's a lot of courage on the pitch. We looked more organized. We didn't always look particularly threatening, but put aside that, just we looked more composed, more calmer from in defense. We weren't as sloppy as we have been in recent games. The team just needed a little bit more gelled and united. So I think there's a lot of positives to come from that game. If we can keep it tight, and the fact that we were the lowest scoring match in the Premiership all weekend, and that's saying something. You would have thought, you know, we'd be at the wrong end of a 7-2 thumping rather than Liverpool against Villa. But overall, there's a lot of hearts from that performance. You know, yes, we lost, and I get that, but we only lost by one goal. On another day, if we had better quality up front, we would have got a point from that game. You know, at this level, I've said it time and time again, you can keep it tied at the back. If you're not going to take your handful of chances that you create, you're not going to pick up anything from these games. These games are coming in thick and fast.
Yep.
The division is very difficult, but Wolves haven't had the best of starts, but we contained them, I thought, at times. I thought we passed the ball quite neatly. Like I said, we didn't give the ball away cheaply. So, you know, Areola made a crucial double save early in the first half, so we started to see his potential. So that's a big positive. Le Marchand and Tim Ream in the back. Okay, that's probably likely to change based on the signings in the last 24 hours. But equally, we just look more organised as a team. We're set up better. We're probably set up not to lose in a funny way. From the other games, I just think Scott Parker resorting more to a typical Championship style of football.
Right.
And he almost got his just rewards by getting an equaliser, which I think would have been well deserved. I think we deserved a draw from the courage, the heart, and not giving up. But at times, offensively, we're lacking a bit of invention, a bit of quality. And I think you need goals in the tank to win your game. Just, you know, let's not forget, we have to win 10, 11 games in this division. But last night's transfer signings will give us an opportunity to be tighter at the back and hopefully a bit more quality up front. But let's see, overall, can't complain. After the first three games of the season, that was a good performance. Coming back after that dreadful performance against Brentford as well on Thursday night.
Totally agree, Emilio. Before we talk about the third player that came on transfer deadline day, I want to get your thoughts on Fulham adding the two center backs. Like Max and I were talking about, we're only going on what we've heard.
Yeah.
And these two players, first of all, are huge. We're talking like 6'5". These players have height. And it looks like, based on what I'm reading, they're both play-balling center backs, which, again, as Max said, this is kind of what Tony Khan is looking for Scott Parker. It probably is what Scott Parker wants as well. So just in general, thoughts on bringing in these two center backs? And we have been rumored to, I don't know how many center backs, but these are the two that they brought in. And I've heard good things about both.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, the reviews seem to be more 70% favorable versus the 30% slightly mixed, you know, from some of the people. You'll get that with any player that we're linked with or with your purchase. But overall, the height gives us hopefully a bit more structure and coverage from set pieces. We know how weak we are from set pieces, how many goals we've conceded from corners, set pieces. We're very, very, you know, we're easy to play against. So hopefully that will protect us in the air and obviously give us a little bit more composure. Both guys come with, you know, reasonable credentials. You know, the key thing is let's keep it tight at the back. You know, I'm hearing some views that they're both confident coming out forward with the ball as well. So rather than Scott Parker wants to play a defensive style of football and likes to play the ball between the players. So you need to have players who can keep possession, keep it confidently without giving the ball away cheaply and putting your fellow team colleagues under pressure. So on the ball, they seem to be, read very good feedback from these two, from the previous, you know, clubs that they were playing for. And overall, it can only improve our chances. Let's be honest. It's going to strengthen our defence, you know, by a country mile. We were playing on Saturday two defenders who were totally incompetent at the Premier League 2 years ago, yet they're still figuring in 2 years later. It just doesn't feel right to me. So Tony Khan, albeit it's taken a while to make a decision, let's commend him for not giving up, pursuing his targets, and he's got two of them, to be honest. And like I said, the feedback seems to be positive and favourable.
Yeah.
So it can only help and aid our chances. But for me, we're too easy to concede against. And from set pieces, we're very liable to concede time and time again. So having that height, that physical presence, I think is going to be key to just keeping the ball out of the back of the net. And Areola can then start to shine, because you saw on Sunday, with the more composed central defenders in front of him,
I said he was an upgrade from that match. I think he now has proven himself to be an upgrade, Emilio.
Absolutely. And I think by having two stronger players directly in front of him, that's going to mean he can start to shine a little bit more. Whereas previously, every error that was made, it was focusing on the goalkeeper's mistakes, could have done better. Central defenders giving the ball away cheaply and conceded a goal. Now we're going to be, hopefully as a unit, we're going to be a bit more organised. But let's see how long these guys take to settle in. That's going to be the key thing.
Yep.
You know, it's, I think the length of time, hopefully they can hit the ground running straight away. And maybe we've got another Breda Hangeland in the making here, another six. You know, who knows?
Not many that would of us be nice.
Breda Hangeland 10, 11 years ago. Look at that. You know, at the end of the day, look what he gave us defensively.
Exactly.
He made mistakes, but... You know, the team defensive with him and Aaron Hughes at the time was a lethal defensive partnership. And Roy Hodgson had the right players to play to his system. Yep. So hopefully these two guys will play to Scott Parker's style of football. Like I said, more comfortable on the ball and defensively tall and strong. So I think that's a massive positive.
Okay. All right, Emilio, I'm going to give you the honors and then I'll go right to Max because I messaged you a few days ago that I started hearing things about this player. I wanted this player.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, I really wanted this player because I've seen this player really, I know his ability and I've seen his potential. I have to say his ability and potential. He is coming off of a serious injury. But I got to tell you, if we get the player that was on the rise, this is a hell of a situation for Fulham. And if they're having a problem figuring out a place for Ruben Loftus-Cheek, they need to find a place for Ruben Loftus-Cheek. I think he is going to add so much to Fulham. I'll go to you first. Your thoughts on him coming to Fulham?
Great signing. Again, it's you know, we did talk about this on Saturday, weren't we? We were just talking about this place. Seems to be surplus to requirements at Chelsea. They've spent a lot of money this transfer window, over £200 million. He will fit in nicely into our system. We need strength in that midfield. You know, he's a significant upgrade to Josh Onuma. Let's be honest. I've seen them very similar type of players, physically strong, but look at the gulf in quality, very, very different. And, you know, he's a massive upgrade to Josh Onuma. So for me, if he can stay free from injury.
I know, and that's a big if.
Play like he did 2 years ago at Chelsea when he was coming forward, winning boards in midfield, scoring goals, assisting goals. That's what we need. We haven't got enough goals in the tank at the moment. If he can add that physical strength in central midfield, and like I say, push forward and make those runs that Josh Onuma was renowned for doing the last 10 games of last season, it's a massive upgrade. But for me, it's all about, is he worth half the wages that we're paying of him?
I know.
Whether it's 100,000, a lot of money, but can he pay us back? You know, if he gets the goals, the assists, and keeping it physically strong in midfield, for me, it's all about the lack. I think we haven't got enough quality midfield. I think we've talked about this time and time again on the show. It's, you haven't got the quality in midfield. You can stop your opposing teams winning the ball, but where's the quality coming forward? I think with him, we've got that physical strength.
I totally agree.
And he's got goals in the tank, and he can be a threat to the opposing teams. But the only question mark for me is how fit is he, and how soon can he hit the ground running?
Right, and that again, I asked Alex Goldberg, who was on this show before from the Byline. Him and I were talking off air yesterday. And he told me, because Russ, I'm going to be honest with you, I think he might just be 90% of what he was right now, coming back from this injury. And I thought to myself, well, I'll take 90% of Ruben Loftus-Cheek. He doesn't believe he's back to where he was one time. And it could, again, he might never get back to that player coming back from that injury. But you know what?
Yeah.
I think that he still has a lot to offer. The skill is still there based on what Alex was telling me. So I'm really excited about this. Max, your thoughts on this? Am I getting too overwhelmed by what could potentially happen? You know, again, I'm excited by this. You know, what are your thoughts about Ruben Loftus-Cheek?
It's a type of signing which gets me really excited because he is a Premier League player. That, I think, is the main thing we have to look
at. He's a world-class player.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who played in the 2018 World Cup for England.
Exactly.
And did very well. And even more impressive, I think, for our situation, is what he's done with Crystal Palace. You know,
that's
he had
a loan
spell there, and that was a very similar situation. I think under Frank de Boer, they lost their first 6-7, and Hodgson came in. I think they lost something like 8-8. They had a terrible start, and Loftus-Cheek was part of that team who dragged them out of that terrible hole they're in. So he's been in a situation where he's been on loan to a team that's struggling and gotten them survival. And he's just so talented. I think he honestly might be the best player in our squad. He just walks in as the best player on a squad because he is that good. You know, I think he started against Brighton in Chelsea's first match. Didn't really impress, but I think this is a perfect opportunity for him. He will play every single game here. at Chelsea, he'll never get that guarantee. That's even when he's on superb form, he'd play Europa League game, he might play League Cup games, score a hat trick or something. It wouldn't make a difference for his first team standing in the Premier League. Here, he's the star of the show. I think he can really shine. And he's a midfielder, like you guys have talked about. He bosses the match, and that's what we need. Yeah. We haven't had a player that strong. I think Anguissa's similar to him in that he can take over a match, but I think Loftus-Cheek is a cut above. And it's a Premier League experience is the biggest thing. He knows his division. He knows exactly what it takes. So few players in our squad currently have that Premier League know-how.
Right. No, totally agree. And back over to you, Emilio. As we're talking about Ruben Loftus-Cheek, we were talking about Anderson earlier. And what's interesting about these players, and we could also talk about Lamine as well, because I want to talk about this. And I was talking to a friend of mine about this. The buddy system. Ruben Loftus-Cheek played with Ana, okay? Anderson played with Tete. Lamina knows Seri and knew Anguissa. And I think the fact that these players know each other and have, in some ways, not recruited them, but given the thumbs up for them to come to Fulham, I think is huge, Emilio. Yeah. And again, I just watched a video about Ruben Loftus-Cheek, and he was talking about Ana. And I have a feeling that's a factor in coming to Fulham.
Absolutely. I think the fact that these, like you said, these guys have all, you know, many of them have played with one another, but I agree with Max's point. We're starting to get Premier League quality. I'm not saying, you know, I wouldn't say I wouldn't classify Ruben Loftus-Cheek as world class, but to your point, Russ, but he's probably, if not the top one, the top two players in our club at the moment. And
okay. You
look now, the key thing for me, it's we've got two players for each position now. We didn't have that before. We were looking at bit part players in the Championship, either starting games this season or being a natural deputy in the Premier League. It's just crazy, to be honest. You know, we invested a lot of money on Knockhart and Caballero, which we questioned that last season because they underperformed in the Championship. And to be honest, Knockhart hasn't even had a look in this season.
No.
Caballero is probably one of our worst players this season. So I was expecting one or two of them maybe to be loaned out to keep the wage bill down. And
maybe there's still time.
There's still time for the Championship teams to pick these guys up. And to be honest, and it's still time for us to pick up some Championship players.
Well, we're going
to
talk about that too.
But for me, it's we've got quality and cover in all positions now. It'll be interesting every weekend to predict who's just starting a lineup because now it's anyone's guess.
It's a mix and match. You can mix and match. Yeah,
it's going to be mix and match. And we need competition for places and quality competition in places rather than, well, if you underperform, your only competitor is somebody who barely played in the Championship last season. So that's where I'll take courage now. We've strengthened in key areas and we've got cover in all those positions. And there's still a lot of players we haven't even seen yet
who've
come alone. So who knows? There might be a few other surprises in this squad, but that squad looks a little bit more stronger now. And that will only give us more opportunity to survive at this level. And look at Aston Villa.
Yep.
They struggled a year ago. They barely survived. Look at their start to the season.
They've pushed on. And it's funny because I have totally did not give them the credit for what they've done. And they belong. And it bothers me to say that because I can't stand Aston Villa. But now I have to look at who they are now. Who would have thought that we would give up less goals than Liverpool. I mean,
and crazy, isn't it? And that's the key thing. Aston Villa survived a season.
That's right. This is about survival.
Pushed on.
Exactly.
This season, get fourth from bottom. We haven't spent millions in the transfer window. It will then you'll get more financial payouts from Sky and other broadcasters. You can then start to invest and take a few more risks next season to stay up and go up another level. And just like Aston Villa have done, they've brought intelligent signings and. These are players that we should have been linked with, but why would they come to Fulham where there was the risk of relegation, whereas these guys have gone to Aston Villa, look, and they're pushing on. Great start, immaculate start for them.
Okay. Max, I'm going to go to you just for time's sake. We're talking about this. Are Fulham done yet? And I'm going to share this because I know this is going to make Emilio smile. I have to share this right here. He's going to smile when he sees this. Okay, Max. EFL transfer window is still open. Am I dreaming thinking about a Lookman Mitro, Benrahma triple tack up top? I would pay whatever it took to get Benrahma here. I don't know if he would want to come here. But you know what, Max? Why not splurge on one or two players? I've actually tweeted this out. Why not? Again, you barely have spent money in transfer fees or loan fees. Why not on one or two players? And Benrahma would be one. What are your thoughts? Do you think that potentially could add a player or two, you know, in this EFL transfer period?
I think Benrahma would love to come here if it means he gets to play against Hector in training every day. And that might get me. I know it's the best moment of his career. But, you know, in all seriousness, it would be great to get someone like Benrahma. Steve Reynolds also mentioned, you know, Josh King from Bournemouth. A lot of good players in that lower division. The question is, are we done yet? I just don't know. I haven't heard us necessarily seriously linked with them.
I know.
And if it does happen, guys, it will happen at the deadline day of the EFL. It's not going to happen anytime before that, I can assure you. Yeah. So we'll hold tight. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of quality in the championship. We know that. We've played there. I just don't know if a player like Benrahma would choose us, to be completely honest. Okay. I think he would have his sights set a lot higher, because I think he's a real deal, as we saw.
He is.
I'd say an Everton or Arsenal or a team like that, West Ham even, you know, cut above us, a more established Premier League club, could take a gamble on him because his quality on the ball. It reminds me almost like Tarapt or Ben Arfa is the best comparison. Just someone so skillful and so gifted.
Right. And I understand that, Max. Emilio, back to you. I'm sorry. If I'm Tony Khan, I go all in. I try to get someone like Benrahma. And actually, Josh King for me would be secondary, but I would try to get Benrahma because I think that would be a game changer.
Yeah.
And maybe Max is right. Maybe he wouldn't want to come. But I would try everything I could to get him to come to Fulham.
Yeah, and we spoke about it. When did we speak about this? On Saturday, when I was getting my cousins in Italy.
You said this. Yeah.
Any speculation was out there. I got a message from my cousin saying, look, it's on the Sky Italia 24-hour sports channel. There was a link there. So to be honest, I believe it could come true. You know, Benrahma is a quality enough player to want to play in the Premier League. I still think it's possible. You know, the fact is we haven't got any covering in attack at the moment. For me, that suggests we're still exploring. And I agree with Max's point. We'll probably leave it to the last minute in the next couple of weeks. We haven't got a game.
Well, Max is right.
It gives us time to explore and negotiate and what have you. But for me, he would add quality, you know, why that we've had Cavalera there who's failed miserably this season and, you know, he's not up to this level. And the Wolves guy we spoke to 14, 15 months ago, he told us all of this.
We were warned, my friend.
Vividly, he was right, 100% right. So for me, it's not over yet. We still need offensive options.
Yep, I totally agree. Mara
came off the bench on Sunday. You've got to bury those chances. And I've said it.
We talked about that.
Three or four chances.
Just not good enough.
If you only get three chances in a game, you've got to hit two of those three to score two goals. But if you're conceding three in the back, you're going to lose every game. That's why now we can keep it tight back, maybe restricted to one goal on average a game, ideally, maybe two. Where are your goals going to come from? At the moment, I can't see where you're going to score one, let alone two. So maybe we haven't talked about it today, but it's, you know, Mitrovic is obviously going to be the long-term answer because obviously we haven't replaced him. But do we struggle when we're trying to play with Mitrovic in the side? You know, would we, you know, we've got no choice. We've got to see, we've got to play to his strengths. But for me, we saw last season, we played a lot more exciting football, a lot more penetrating and dangerous when he wasn't playing. Albeit when he does play with scoring goals, you're not going to get those chances in the Premier League. And that's the thing for me. We just need more goals in the tank. And Loftus Cheek will give us more threat.
I think so.
Attacking wise.
And Lookman will too. So
Lookman as well, based on Sunday's performance. That's another great positive. But for me, we need more goals.
Okay. And that's why I think that they need to look at who they can add from the championship. They know the championship. And these two players, I would be looking at both. And I just wanted to bring that up. Guys, to end the show, let's end this way. And it's kind of hard because, again, this other window is still open, but let's rate the window. Max, let's rate the window from 1 to 10. Give Fulham a rating. You know, and again, a lot of these players, they're still coming in, you know, just coming in. Give it a rating. Be honest.
I wanted to say 5, and I thought it's a bit too harsh. And I want to say 5.5, and I'm like, but is that how – I'm going to say 6, all right?
Okay.
And here's why. I think if we just rate the deadline day in a vacuum, that's an 8. That's an 8 or a 9, that deadline day. Those are three players I think are desperately needed and they're superb players, I hope. But we can't view it in a vacuum. We have to view it in the sense where we've bought them and we lost the first 4 matches and are rock bottom in the Premier League. And the damage has been done. So the reason I'm saying it's a 6 is because I think if you look at the players we brought in as a whole, Tete, Areola, those likes of them, Aina, you know, Lamina, Lookman, and then, of course, if you're on deadline day, Harrison Reed as well. We can't forget that.
Yeah.
Very needed players in positions we needed at good prices. It's excellent looking at overall, but the fact that we waited until the 5th of October to buy a central defender at all, but, you know, by two, it just isn't good enough. And that's why I'm saying six. I want to be more optimistic. I want to be more complimentary because I think we did good business in the end. But the fact that it took this long is unacceptable. So six.
Okay. All right. Before I get your rating, I have to share this from our friend Steve Reynolds for you, Amelia. We are one-dimensional with Mitro. Need a forward.
Yeah.
Sounds like you agree with Steve.
Absolutely. I've been saying it, you know, for months. Why was I apprehensive when we won the playoff final 2 months ago? I remember doing the show straight after. I wasn't as, you know, of course you're celebrating. Obviously you're joyous at the occasion, but it was always in the back of my mind. Well, hold on a second. We're going to struggle in the Premier League. Very few of these players are capable at this level. So that was always my apprehension. But if I'm going to rate the transfer window, I think, to be honest, I'm going to be a more generous than Max. You know, I think at the end of the day, timing of it, I agree with. I think we just could have done this a lot sooner. But then we know Tony Khan, we never do things early. It's always very much last minute. So we shouldn't be surprised at that. But overall, looking at Lookman, two substitute appearances, looked very strong in both those games. Areola, you know, kept us in the game on Sunday. We've got some great signings yesterday. We've got, you know, Tete's looking good. Hopefully he hasn't got a long-term injury here. And, you know, and a few backup players as well. Anthony Robinson, let's not forget Anthony Robinson. He's looked lively on Sunday. So I'm going to give 7.5. I'm even going to push it up to the boundaries of 8. If you actually look, put aside the timing and the fact that we haven't got a replacement striker, then I think 8 out of 10, I think it's fairly generous, net-net. Question is now, Burnley have not spent a penny on any signings. So for me, we should be grateful. The club have done their hardest to get the right players they want at rock-bottom prices as well without spending the earth. And let's see how they integrate into the system, into the team. We need to start picking up points. There are many teams around us who are just as bad as us. So whilst there's that opportunity, you know, the West Broms, the Burnleys, Sheffield Uniteds, between the four of us, three of those will go down, in my opinion. Right. Quizzes, which three? Okay. Potentially Brighton as well might get pulled into the mix. There's five teams there fighting for three places. And if we can get more goals in the tank, we've got every chance to win more games. So I'm excited. Okay. I'm going to give Tony Khan 8 out of 10.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to share this from our friend Roger Lewis in Spain. 9 if we get Benrahma and King. 6 if we don't.
Again, what are the expectations from our fans? You know, we're not a Chelsea. We're not an Arsenal. We haven't got billions to spend. You know, at the end of the day, Burnley have spent nothing. Brighton have spent less than us. Some of these other teams have spent less than us. So it's we know that our failings. We know our weaknesses, but I'm not disrespecting Fulham. We're only Fulham at the end of the day. So we haven't got millions to splash out. So hence, we've got to be a little bit more prudent and sensible. So I think let's not criticise the owners. They're doing their best. They love this club and they have pumped in billions into this club. So let's keep supporting the club. Put aside his tweets from last week. And let's look forward to, you know, start winning more games and celebrating with the team.
Okay, great stuff. Great show. Emilio, thank you for joining us for the second half. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. Sorry, I came a little bit late, but yeah, I thought it would be good to join you guys.
And Max, thank you as always for joining me. I hope you enjoyed the show.
Yeah, it's good to have the two of you guys on. It was really fun to be on, as always, Russ. And nice to have Emilio on because he's our second half substitute. He's like, look at him.
Okay, second half. That's very funny. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Cottage Talk. For my co-host, Max Cohen and Emilio Danello, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for watching and also listening to Cottage Talk.
It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.